Blog Talk Radio.
How to reach the masses, men of every bird, form and answer. Jesus gave the key. To reach the masses, men of every bird, form and answer. Jesus.
For Jesus on this morning. It is a welcoming day in the neighborhood. God's mercy and his grace and his infinite power is just marvelous. Oh, we just bless God on this morning. This is the day truly that the Lord he hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, even if your heart is saddened or heavy by any circumstance or purpose or situation. It is still a good thing to bless God. It is a good thing to give thanks on today and every day. I can't thank God for yesterday, for today. I have to thank him for each day as he gives me each day. Yesterday was a beautiful day, and it was a wonderful day for me on yesterday. I felt as if I was on a trip somewhere. The environment, the setting was just awesome, and I enjoyed my day yesterday because God made it possible. To me, I was in pain body-wise, but spirit, my spirit man was lifted. I just felt good, and I reverenced, and I thank God for that. In spite of the pain that I was having, my sciatic pain, I still found the day was a beautiful then. I don't know if Mr. Rogers was a Christian man or not, but he certainly welcomed the day, no matter what it looked like, whether it was raining or snowing or the wind blowing, howling, whatever was going on. He just simply looked beyond the negative and he saw what was good about the day. So he was grateful, I'm sure, because he said, it's a lovely day. It's a lovely day. And no matter what is going on in this universe, in this world today, it is a lovely day in the neighborhood. Oh, yes, there's going to be trials and tribulations. There's going to be some bad news. There's going to be things not going right. You may go to start your vehicle and it won't start. So that's why we may refrain from saying it's a lovely day in a neighborhood. Maybe that grandson or that granddaughter have done something that caused your heart to feel heavy. But if you could just muster up enough strength to say it is a lovely day, why is it so lovely? Because Jesus is in it. Because there is nothing that's going on with us that he don't already know about. Before he formed us in our mother's womb, he said, I knew you before I even selected you from on high to come down as flesh. Because we all are spirits, beloved. We are all spirits. But we had to come through the flesh channel to become flesh. And our flesh is always at war with the Lord because the flesh doesn't want to become subject to the things of God. The enemy is there on a daily basis to tempt us to go against God's word. But I thank God that I recognize that after all that I've been through and all that I'm going through, that I can truly say it is a lovely day in the neighborhood. So on that thought, I give honor to God. Mm-hmm. Give honor to whom honor is due. And I give honor to God, and I thank God for allowing us to be a part of his love by giving us his son, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world, which is us, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth upon him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. It didn't say we wouldn't die. It didn't say we wouldn't have trials. Didn't say we wouldn't have trouble. Didn't say we wouldn't be sick. Didn't say that blindness would maybe not come nigh our dwelling. Didn't say we would not have a heart attack. It just said that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This brings me to a point. And I thank God at this moment for Dr. Scott. Sometimes those that's the closest to you, you don't give them the accolades. But I thank God for him for keeping this broadcast on the air for, is it 8 years now or nine? We're going into, and it's just a blessing how he takes the time to put God first in our lives as far as getting the word out abroad. I'm not going to all these countries. I'm not going to all these cities, but this Blog Talk goes for me, and I thank the Lord. But I had an opportunity this last week to speak with a gentleman. He's 55 now, and this incident occurred, I believe, about 7 years ago, and he was a tree climber. He worked, that was his occupation, and he climbed trees and cut them down and what have you, and he fell. Something broke, the rope broke or something, and he fell from so many feet in the air. And he laid there with a broken back, a broken, everything broken. no movement whatsoever, completely paralyzed from his neck all the way down to his legs. He could move nothing. He could do nothing. And he testified to me, and he told me that he died three times, once while laying on the ground, and they revived him. Then when they got him in the helicopter, he had to be airlifted. He died in the helicopter. They brought him back around. When he got to the hospital, he died again, and they were able to revive him. He completely died. And he said to me that that was a very uncomfortable feeling. I was in a coma for 7 weeks. And he said, but the whole time that I was in that coma, he said, I went to hell, couldn't get out. I stayed there. I tried to get out because it was so dark there. He says, darker than any night that you could ever lay your eyes upon. He says, you can go outside at the darkest hour of the night. And he said, it was darker than night. He said, and the creatures that I saw, they just kept coming at me, tormenting me. They just kept ripping me apart. They just kept just tormenting me, and I was screaming, and I was wanting to try to get help to get out of there, but there was no way out. He said, but then one day, this big light, brighter than I've ever seen a light before, comes from afar. I could see just that light, and as the light came more towards me, the creatures began to back off, and the darkness began to get lighter and lighter. I was looking forward to hearing him say that Jesus spoke something to him, but he said the more he saw the light, the more he was able to come out of hell, and that he followed the light out of hell. And he came out of the coma, and he spoke with his wife and his son. He said, I tell you, I don't ever want to experience that again. He said, it was most dark and most frightening. People, hell is real. Situations are real. And guess what? John P. King let you know that Jesus is real, for the Lord is real. I don't want to go to hell, that's for sure. So I'm going to hang out with God's Son that said that if I believe on him, I will not perish. I will have everlasting life. I listened to the young man talking about that experience, and I said, I have heard that before, that how dark it is, and the creatures that are there are most frightening. They scare you, literally scare you. They scare you, the people that have gone there. And he didn't tell me like some of the others that they hear people screaming. And as the scriptures say, there will be the gnashing of the teeth and screaming and tormenting. And all of that is going on in hell. I don't know why we want to go there. Maybe we preachers like myself and Dr. Scott, maybe we're not doing our job by telling people what hell is like. Maybe that would turn them off from wanting to live the way the devil wants us to live. So it separates us from God. You know, it chooses you this day. God left it up to you. I'm not going to make you serve me, but these are the benefits come along with serving God, is eternal life with Jesus. Everlasting life with Jesus. And the benefits, there's benefits now. There's double benefits, no doubt about it. The benefits with having everlasting life with Jesus, and then there's benefits of having, because you're going to live forever in hell, being tormented and all of those things. That's the benefit of being disobedient and not accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior and being born again. You just can't shake the preacher's hand and they put your name on the register to say that you are affiliated with this outfit. No, that's fine for earth, but you have to have Jesus on the inside in order for him, when he comes and gather up his jewels, his saints, he's got to see the blood. It's a blood thing. It's not a shaking of the hand thing. You've got to get the blood of Jesus. You've got to be born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, yes, you have much. You're a rich ruler. You have everything, Nick. But you're still missing something. He says, you must be. And I don't think we preachers are preaching that enough. You know, John, my throat is not good this morning. Forgive me for clearing my throat. John had his sermon. And you know, Dr. Scott, we preachers, we try to be so deep and preach this. Well, let me see what I can preach this week. Let me see what I can preach next week. Oh, I can't preach that again this week. I just preached that last week. But John went around with his sermon was repent. Repent. But we want to preach the whole Bible, and that's fine. But somewhere in our preaching or our teaching, we need to let the people know that hell is real. I was singing this morning to my sister, hell is deep and hell is wide. Don't have no bottom and it don't have no side. So I believe I'll run on to see what the end's going to be. I'm not going to stop. Hey, God. I've got to get to the promise that the Lord has promised me, everlasting life. He that believeth shall have an everlasting life, an everlasting life with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Hey, Jesus, I'm getting excited now. I don't want to wake up in hell. No, I don't want to do that. That is not what I'm striving for. I'm striving to make heaven my home. That's why I would say I believe I run on. See what the end going to be. I don't have time to stop now. Hey, I've come too far to turn around. So I believe I'll run on. Hey, God, see what the end going to be. I've got to hold on to God's unchanging. And yes, my flesh wants to stumble and fall, but I can't do it. Because I got heaven in my view. The scripture lets us know that we're going to be changed. I know we like to say, I'm going to see my mother when I get there. I'm going to see my father when I get there. I want to see Jesus. That's who I want to see. And I want to look upon his face. Hey, God, thank you. That's who I want to see. I love Grandma. And I love Mama, and I love the pastor, but I want to see Jesus. Oh, bless his name. From the Bible that I read declared that we shall all be changed. changed. So we're not going to be in a mortal body. We're not going to be like we were here on the earth. Why do you think you're going to go to heaven and you're going to look just like you did here on the earth? Come on now. We are spirits. And that's what we're going to look like, a spirit. That's why we got to be changed from mortal to immortality. Thank you, Jesus. The enemy was trying to steal my thought. I know this Bible. I studied it. I read it. But as we get older, we start to decline in some areas in our mental capacity. And I pray daily, Lord, what's in there, bring it out. That's why we've got to be changed. So I get to heaven. I'm not looking for my mother. I'm not looking for my father. I know the Lord told, Jesus told the sisters that said that, you know, they wanted, they said, yeah, we know we'll see him again in the resurrection, yeah. And the Lord said, well, I think I'm going to laugh for him. Well, okay, who do you think you're talking to? Yeah, we know we'll see our brother again. Yeah, Lord, we'll see him. Well, who do you think you're talking to? I am. You know, this is Lent. I am the resurrection and the life. You hear that? Ending life. L-I-F-E. I am the resurrection, girls. And the life, I know you're hurting. You've lost your brother. He was my friend. I stood there and I wept to let you know that I have feelings too. But I'm also Jesus. And I can raise the dead. Girls, you're going to see your brother again. And they said, no. Yeah, we know. Yeah, we know. That's the attitude we take when God is speaking to us. That's the attitude when Jesus is telling us something. Yeah, I know, Lord. Yeah, I know. I know you say you're doing your word, but when you're going to do it, I don't know. Yeah, right. Okay. I got you, God. But he proved himself. He said, I told you you're going to see it. Yeah, God, in the resurrection, Jesus. We know that. He said, I am the resurrection, the life. I'm getting ready to let you see your brother again. I'm getting ready to blow your natural mind. Oh, you believe on me, but you really don't know what I'm capable of. I allowed him to die. I could have come when I got the word, but I stood still. I didn't move. I let him die, and I let him be wrapped up and put into the tomb. And I heard Dr. Scott, in listening to another preacher, and that's a good thing to listen sometime to other ministries or other ministers when they're ministering the word, because not one person know it all. But he brought out the fact that when you died back then, the way Lazarus died, you know, it's different if they took the sword and cut his head off. That's different. But he died and what have you. And the reason why they say Jesus waited until the fourth day, because they got up, if they were not dead, really dead, 3 days they got up. But if you were still dead after 3 days, then they considered you as really out of here, being dead for real. So Jesus shows up on the fourth day, because had he to raise Lazarus on the second day, they would have said, oh, he wasn't dead. He wasn't really dead. He was in a little coma or something. Had he done it on the third day, they still would have been able to argue the fact, well, look, it's only been 3 days. Come on here. But Jesus waited until the fourth day. And then he shows up. Find the sisters crying over their brother. But he told them he will live again. You will see your brother again. And they just didn't like Jesus talking that way. Yeah, we know we will see him in the resurrection. We know that, Lord. Jesus had to remind them in their sorrow. Sometimes sorrow blinds your thinking because you're thinking on your hurt and what you're feeling, your grief. Jesus said to them, I am the resurrection. I'm sure he had to chuckle. I am the resurrection. And he said, Lazarus. This was not my message, but this is how he went. I have my book open to Psalms 90. But he told them to come forward. And Lazarus got up out of that grave. He was stinking. He had been dead so long, and they didn't embalm them then, so the blood was still in his body. Thinking, you know what meat smell like with the blood in it, and it has gone bad. It smelled rotten. He was stinking. And the Lord called him forward. He was dead for real, for real. And he coming out of the grave bound because they wrapped you like a mummy. Just wrapped you and wrapped you and wrapped you. I guess I don't know what that was about. But anyhow, that's what they did to you. So he was hopping along. And Jesus commanded the grave clothes to come off him. Not only did he give him life, gave his life back to him, but he even had to rebuke the death clothes off of him. And when Jesus comes, my mom's remains is in a grave, but when he calls Naomi, come forward, that body's going to come back. And then because we have to stand the judgment, our spirit is not going to be standing before the Lord. Our bodies are going to be resurrected, and we will have to stand the judgment. And that's when the Lord is going to say to us, well done, my good and faithful servant. Or he will say, depart from me. I never knew you. Why will he say, I never knew you? Because you didn't accept him. And you didn't live the way he commanded that we live. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Not, oh, I'm a Christian, I go to church on Sunday, and you're living your life the way you want to live it, any kind of way, contrary to what the word of God said. He said, be holy, for I am holy. Come on, we got to cry loud and spare not. Hell is real. Hell is real. I knew when that young man gave me that testimony, I said it right then at that nursing home. I said, this is going to be my sermon. I talked to someone. I didn't hear them on the TV with Sid Roth. It's supernatural. I looked this man eyeball to eyeball while he's sitting in a wheelchair now. God has blessed him, but I don't know what God's going to do with him. He's in a wheelchair with a catheter and all of this. He was paralyzed from head to toe. They work with him and got his arms and things back so he can use his arms, but he cannot walk. But they get him in that wheelchair and he rolls all over that nursing home. And he tell you, I died three times. He said, boy, spooks and ghosts and all that stuff, that stuff is real. I knew I was going to speak about it, but I tried to go into the Psalms, but God wouldn't let me go there. Maybe that's when I will recognize my mother, when we're standing before God and he's got the Lamb's Book of Life and it's open, and everything that we have ever done, good, bad, or indifferent, is in the Lamb's Book of Life. I just pray that by the time he gets to the end, the last page in my book, he'll be able to say, you messed up here really bad. Terrible here. But then you closed in the margin and you got better and you started obeying my word. And then you fell off again. And you went back out there and you messed up again. But then you got back in a little bit at the time. But by the time he gets to the last chapter of my book that he was keeping the record on, he'll say, yeah, but you messed up here. But because my love and my mercy, I didn't take you out because, see, you didn't know your beginning and you don't know your end. But I knew your beginning, and I also knew your end. That's why I spared your life, because I had said right from the beginning, in the end, you'll be mine. So I want, when he get to the end of the book, to say, come on up. Hey, come on up. You made it. Because I see more of me than more of you. In the beginning, it was more of you. Oh, God, I love this message. In the beginning, it was more of you, Patricia. But in the end, where it counts, it was more of me. Thank you, Jesus. I am a Shidilabosha. Hallelujah. Hey, God, I thank you. Hallelujah. Oh, God. More, I see more of me than more of you. In other words, you crucified your flesh. You denied your flesh. You stopped and said, I'm going to do it God's way. I'm going to tell somebody that Jesus is the answer for this world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Oh God, thank you. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Now, I don't know why the Lord called this young man back. I know the doctors worked on him. I know that. I know they did everything humanly that they could do. But if God had not spoken and said, live and return the life into his body, they can pump you up. They can beat you up. They can break up your ribs. They can do all of that. But when God says it's over, it's over. But if God says live, you live. And I know the doctors, you know, did everything they could. But it was God who said for him to live. And why God chose for him to continue to live, I don't know. That's God's business. Maybe it's a part of this young man's ministry and he hasn't completely surrendered his all to God, is that to tell somebody that hell is real. I believe that hell is real because of what the word of God said. I don't need the Lord to take me to hell. The only reason why I would want him to take me to hell so I can come back and turn millions and millions and millions, convince them that I was there, you don't want to be there because this is what happened. We have a story where the brother went to hell and he said to the Lord, Lord, if I could go, no, you can't go back because you didn't listen to me. Why do you think I'm going to let you go back? He said, well, could you just let me just tell my brother, get a message to my family. Tell them don't come here. If I could get just one drop of water to cool my, tell my family don't come here. This is what we preachers need to be focusing on. Don't come here. Get to God. Jesus said, we're getting ready to come into Easter. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. That's who we need to be focusing on. We live in a world and we've got to abide by the laws of the land. I think it's a wonderful thing that our friend here in Delaware, Joe Biden, seems to be in the race, but I never gave up on Sleepy Joe, as the president gave him the nickname Sleepy Joe. But I got up one morning during the fast that I was doing, and I said, God, turn this thing around. I said, Joe looks sick to me. He looks like he needs to just go home and sit down in his chair. I said, God, turn this thing around. If it's to be, turn it around. So if God had to use Congressman Clyburn to be the mouthpiece, fine. But the people in the news world, CNN, MSNBC, ABC, and all of the they don't know what happened. So they're giving Clyburn the credit for having the magic in his mouth. And they showed a clip where Clyburn said, I know Joe. We know Joe. In South Carolina, we know Joe. Joe is a good man. That's what they're playing. Well, if that's what it took, along with the prayers, the effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous, I wasn't the only one that was praying for Joe. Many people were praying for Joe. God heard. Well, we got to run on and see what the end's going to be. Believe I run on. See what the end. It's going to get ugly. But God got this. People, you don't want to go to hell. But you want to talk God. Get it right. Get your heart right with God. The old saints, when I was a child, would sing, have thine afflictions been nailed to the cross? Is thine heart right with God? Has it been washed in the crimson flood? Has it been cleansed and made whole, humble and holy? Is thine heart right with God? You don't want to do like this young man, find himself in hell, 7 weeks in a coma, in hell. God gave him a chance. Maybe it was for me to meet him so that I could give his testimony without his name, so that someone out in Blog Talk Radio land will hear this message and say, wow, I gotta turn it around. People of God and whoever's listening, Jesus is real. He is the resurrection and the life. He can call you from darkness into his marvelous light. My God, today. I don't ever want that experience. I have some friends that say they went to hell, but they didn't quite describe it like he did. It really got to him. I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. They had a saying, when I get to heaven, I'm going to put on my shoes and going to walk all over God's heaven. I don't need no shoes. When I get to heaven, it'll be amen. When I see Jesus, I'm going to sit. Maybe you'll find me, Dr. Scott, if you're looking for me in the spirit. You could only see me in the spirit because I won't be in heaven in the flesh. Because, see, the flesh is at war with God, like I said earlier. So the flesh going to start raising sand and going to want some of the earthly stuff that we got a taste of. And he ain't going for that. That dog can't hunt. But and you might find me sitting down by the river, because they said the leaves on the trees, that's good for the healing of the nation. We need to get to those leaves now and heal the land and heal the nation. We need to get there because we're in bad shape. This is not a bad thing, this virus. Oh, Lord, don't y'all kill me for this. But this is not the end. This virus that we're panicking over is not the end. I believe this is man-made, but the plagues, you need to Google the plagues that's going to be on this earth in the last day, the locusts that's going to be here eating up everything. You will not have food. You will not be able to grow any food because the locusts are going to take over. They already started in Ethiopia. I watched it on television last week. The locusts is swarming in Africa, and they're eating up everything in the field, and they're laying their eggs, and the eggs hatch very quickly. And then little jokers, they start eating. They have some kind of spray, hopefully, but they won't be able to kill them because these are the last days, and the Lord spoke that these things would be here. Pestilence! You're going to run out of spray for them because God's going to keep them coming because he said every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that I am the Christ. Yes, even Donald Trump has to answer to the Christ. Now, I thank God for Jesus and I thank Jesus for the blood. There's going to be some of us that survive the famine, of course. God has to still have someone here telling the other ones, you must be born again. Repent. Turn from your wicked ways. But I want to see Jesus. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want that experience. I want to look up and see Jesus, my God, today. The man from Galilee, if you in sin, he'll set you free. Benny Cummings also wrote that song. He's a man from Galilee. If you in sin, he'll set you free. That's what I like, he says, I like about Christ. Oh, my God, he's your joy and sorrow. Your only hope for tomorrow. That's what I like. I like about Christ. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Let me just read briefly. And I'm reading this for the believers. Psalms 90. The Lord said I could read it, but he didn't want me to get to it when I thought I would get to it. Psalm 90 says this, the first verse I read, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man back into dust and say, return, O children of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it passed by, or as a watch in the night. You have swept them away like a flood. They fell asleep in the morning. They are like grass which sprouteth anew. In the morning, it flourishes and sprouts anew. Towards evening, it fades and wither away. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we have been dismayed. You have placed our iniquities before you, our secret sins, oh God help us, in the light of your present. For all our days have declined in your fury. We have finished our years like a sigh. As for the days of our lives, they contain 70 years. Or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow. For soon it is gone, and we fly away. Who understands the power of your anger and your fury according to the fear that is due you? So teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. And you all know that I am reading from my new Spirit-filled Bible, so the words are a little different from the King James. Do return, O Lord, how long will it be? And be sorry for your servants. Oh, satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days you have afflicted us, and the years we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants and your majesty to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and confirm for us the work of our hands. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, I have read Psalms 90 in its entirety. It's only 17 little verses. In Jesus' name, we pray. Thank God. Repent, for the kingdom of the Lord is at hand. Amen.
How to reach the masses, men of every birth, born and after. Jesus gave the key. Oh,
Yes, lift him up. Lift him up for all to see. This Gregory Scott, thank you for listening. I see that we have listeners with the last 4-4-6-2-8 and 5-9-9-0. Thank you so much for being with us, and we look forward to next week, same time, same station. Now we'll wrap up with Denny Cummings. Lift him up.